The last clip that we're going, or the last segment that we're going to that we're going to air before Basics goes on and finishes up the evening for us, is going to be a clip with Nizar, who is going to be talking about specifically about Tanzanian and East African solidarity with Palestine. So I'm going to set up this clip and stay tuned afterwards for Basics, who's going to go on at 7:30 till 9 to finish off anti-apartheid frequencies. And we'd also like to thank Emil and Ome for the amazing contributions that they've had with African perspectives. Ome was on doing a great piece around the concept of apartheid and the politics of apartheid, starting with South Africa. And then we're also now going into an African perspectives from Tanzania. So here's a clip. Enjoy. And thanks for tuning in. Check out the event, apartheidweek.org, and hope to see you out this week.
105.5 FM, and you are tuned into the special programming Anti-Apartheid Frequencies. Anti-Apartheid Frequencies is part of Israeli Apartheid Week at York University. And if you recognize my voice, it's Emil from African Perspectives. CHRY has kindly given African Perspectives a half an hour slot between 2:30 and 3, which was done by Ome, the other co-host, and now 6:30 to 7, which I will be hosting, and we'll be talking about the role of Israel in Africa. African Perspectives endorses Israeli Apartheid Week and shows solidarity with the Palestinian people. Today we have Nizar Visram, who is a member of the Tanzania-Palestine Solidarity Network. Hello, Nizar.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
Oh, very well, thanks.
That's great. Firstly, I would just like to thank you so much for coming at such an odd hour. I know it's late for you in Tanzania. It's midnight, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, okay, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Can you give us a brief history about the Tanzania-Palestine Solidarity Network and what does it seek to achieve?
Yeah, you see, this is a Tanzania-Palestine Solidarity Committee, and we started way back in the 80s, you know, because Tanzania established relations with diplomatic relations with Palestine in 1973, if I'm not mistaken. That's after breaking off relations with Israel. In 1974, the Palestinian embassy was opened in Dar es Salaam. And that's the time when we had so many liberation movements here in Tanzania or Dar es Salaam, based in Dar es Salaam, from South Africa, from Southwest Africa, Central Africa, West Africa, even outside Africa. So it was logical for us also to invite the Palestinian Liberation Organization at that time to open office in Dar es Salaam, which later became an embassy, the Palestinian embassy. And that's the time when Tanzanians got together and formed this group, Solidarity Network, so to say. And we had this committee from then onwards till now. Members keep changing, but the group grows, and we have more and more members. We get more members. And we have been carrying on so many activities in supporting the struggle for the Palestinians against occupation. So that is, in essence, what we have been doing so far. And I'm the secretary of the group.
What kind of work has the network done in the past or is currently doing?
There's a number of things we've been doing. Advocacy, you know, spreading the word and informing the people of Tanzania, because the information was quite scanty. And we shouldn't also underplay the role played by the Zionist Israel, because a lot of, let's say, propaganda work that was being done also on the other side by Israel, in Africa, in general, and Tanzania in particular. And so we had to counter that by informing the people of Tanzania what Zionism is about and what's happening in the occupied Palestine, and what the occupation means, etc. So we went on till now. Now we're talking of the wall, we are talking of the Bantuization, we are talking of the peace talks, and we are talking about also the roadmap, etc. So all this means also we have when we talk of informing the people of Tanzania, we use the newspapers, we write articles, we call the meetings, We have seminars, we have workshops. We go on the television, sometimes live, sometimes recorded, but we use all the channels here, radio, say broadcast, television broadcast. We also attend some demonstrations in Dar es Salaam. I remember we had a demonstration in Zanzibar. I remember also we went to Mbeya, upcountry stations in Tanzania, and so many other things. So it is using the print media, using the electronic media, going to schools. Talking to students, going to colleges, going to university, going to various institutions, talking to people, etc., etc. You name it. So we have been quite busy. We're still continuing, and we have got this newsletter that we started in January, and it's spreading out, going to many people in Tanzania and outside Tanzania. So that's a part of the struggle. And some members of the committee also have visited Palestine, the occupied Palestine, and met some people in Palestine and exchanged views and got learned from them what's happening and get the latest information from them. So we do exchange ideas also and views information with the people from Palestine as well. So that's what we've been doing lately.
And you talked about the demonstrations and the newsletter. What's the general response received from the Tanzanian community?
We have feedback. Do people come to us? They do, yes. Do people ask us questions? They ask questions. Sometimes I get messages. Me personally, I write in the papers here. I've got a column in a local Kiswahili weekly. And I write from time to time, especially on days like Nakba or Catastrophe Day or some other days, you know, so Refugee Day, etc. And we write in the newspapers. Then we get a reaction from various people here, which are quite useful. Sometimes not all of them agree with us, but we don't expect the people just to agree with all we're saying, but we also expect exchange of views, expect a discussion, and sometimes it becomes quite interesting, quite heated discussion. And people, because as I said, the other side also is quite active to some extent. Though, Israel doesn't have an embassy in Dar es Salaam. As I said, the embassy was asked to leave in 1973 by Mwalimu Nyerere. And since then, they haven't come back. But despite not having an embassy, they spread the information as well. But it's difficult for them. And because, with the ongoing delegitimization of Israel that is going on globally and in Tanzania as well, so people understand what we are doing. And we get quite a positive response from Tanzanians in general here. People do understand what we are doing and what the Palestinians are doing and what are the demands, what are the legitimate demands and what Zionism is about. Because we do, relate ourselves, to the demands of the Palestinian cause. We have undergone, the people of Africa in general, in Tanzania in particular, we have undergone, colonialism. We have been colonized in the past. And we have seen what colonialism means. We have seen what discrimination means, what ethnic cleansing. Well, in some parts of Africa, we also had ethnic cleansing. South Africa, we had apartheid. And so when we talk of apartheid in Palestine, occupied Palestine, people really understand, because we in Africa also, we had an apartheid and we fought against apartheid in South Africa. We had many South Africans in Tanzania here, and so we are very much aware what apartheid means. And so when you talk of apartheid, Israeli apartheid, people really understand what we are talking about. When you talk about the wall, they understand what the wall is about. We talk of Bantu bantunization in Palestine, and people understand we are talking about. So we relate ourselves to the Palestinian cause because that is part of our history as well. And that's quite positive and helpful to us because we explain and people understand what we're talking about. And I don't think it's very easy for anybody to defend, to legitimize the apartheid in Palestine or to legitimize the Zionism in Palestine. It's difficult. So that makes our work a bit easier, you see, as a committee and as a group.
Yeah, and you just answered two of my questions because I was going to ask about the relation with South Africa because South Africa was also an apartheid state in the 90s and before. Unless you want to add something else, we could go to the next question.
I touched on South Africa, and yes, it seems that quite interesting enough. You see, you have people like, today in South Africa, people like Archbishop Desmond Tutu, and quite vocal, quite strongly, supporting, quite supportive to the Palestinian cause, and that's very helpful for us because we caught Desmond Tutu, and it rings a bell. It wants people to understand what Tutu is talking about because he's talking people's language, and he was a victim of apartheid, and see, it reminds me that there's someone, a freedom fighter, Ronnie Kasriel from South Africa. He was an ANC freedom fighter. And when he recently went to Palestine, occupied Palestine, and then he was shocked because if you read what he talks, if you read his quotation, he says, I couldn't believe it. There are things happening in Palestine today we wouldn't see that even under South African apartheid. In other words, he said it's worse than South African apartheid. So South Africans, we understand that, and we Africans as a whole understand that because we fought against, as I said, apartheid colonialism in Africa as a whole. Tanzania also, you see, we were colonized and we fought against colonialism. We fought for the liberation of Africa, liberation of the continent, liberation of our country, and it's still ongoing because for us now it is an ongoing struggle. And see. And so, that, as I said, you see, it's easier for us to support and to support the Palestinian cause.
What is Israel's history in Africa?
And you talk about history, the background. You see, it's a long, long history. But way back to 1952, the Egyptian Revolution, see, led by Nasser, President Nasser, and the rest of them. So it was Nasser actually who lit the flame. You see, in 1952, you find this revolution in Egypt, and then after that, you find that Nasser uses his own revolution, his own liberation of Egypt as a base. So Egypt becomes a base for the rest of Africa. And just like Tanzania was a member of this, one of the members of what we call ourselves the frontline states. We were a frontline state, there were several frontline states, and we were in the front line fighting colonialism, fighting apartheid, fighting colonialism in Mozambique, in Angola, in West Africa, etc. Now, Nasser, was similarly in Egypt. He supported the liberation of Africa. And I remember in the 50s, as a young kid, as a small kid, I remember that we used to listen to the broadcast from coming from Cairo, in Swahili, from Cairo. We used to listen to this every evening. We'd sit near our radio set and listen to the broadcast coming from Cairo and I know Rashad. I remember the name Rashad. I think Ahmed Rashad, I think. He used to broadcast from Cairo. So then comes the Bandung Conference in Asia. In Bandung, of course, it's the Bandung Conference for the non-aligned countries. And in Asia, Africa, Latin America. In this conference, Israel was not invited. So that is the beginning. See, that's the beginning that see, the people of Asia, Africa, Latin America, see, struggling against Zionism, supporting Palestine. The Palestine cause comes to the fore, it comes up, and we understand what it means because it came to the Northern Ireland Conference in London, the founding of the people like Nasser, people like Nehru, like Tito, playing a foremost role in this movement. And then came people like Nkrumah and Nyerere. And so you find, if you look at, I was reading this Nyerere's interview with Nawal from Egypt. And you see, Nyerere was saying that, see, we supported Palestine cause because Palestinians were fighting against occupation of the country. And so, you see, it started from, as I said, 50s in Egypt. And then came the 1967, I suppose, if I'm not mistaken, 67, Six-Day War, and the occupation of the West Bank and Gaza. Okay, then I'm fast-forwarding now. So, and then comes the 1973 Yom Kippur War, the Six-Day Yom Kippur War, call it. And with 1967-73, then we can't forget also the occupation of Sinai, because Israel then occupied Sinai, and Sinai part of Egypt, and
this is Big M1 from Big Fresh. You listen to anti-apartheid radio. Keep up the fight against Israeli apartheid.
Or AU, you see, they condemned Israel because 1973. They condemned Israel because Israel occupied part of Africa. So when the Arabs said that part of Africa
¿Qué onda, mi gente? Is occupied by es Pablo Israel, de Barrio Nuevo. Están escuchando frecuencias contra apartheid.
CHRY 105.5. And this explains why, you see, 73, you see, a resolution was passed to break off relation with Israel and to ask Israeli embassies to close in African countries. And this is what happened in Tanzania and many other countries in 1973. And then in 1974, you see, the Tanzanian government then asked Palestinians to open the office in Dar es Salaam, which would later become embassy. And today we have a Palestinian embassy with a Palestinian flag in Tanzania. And not only Tanzania, but Africa, because we're just talking of 2 months ago, 1 or 2 months ago, in January this year, African Union passed a resolution, you see, unanimously, recognizing Palestine state of Palestine, you see, based on 1967 borders. So this is quite an achievement that the African Union as a whole supporting Palestinian state. So this is what links to what I said, the delegitimization of Israel. But it is not enough to talk of just a state support of the Palestinians. Because I might sound like I'm talking of the state support of Palestinians or the support at the level of the state. But apart from that, more useful is the state of the people of Africa, and that is reflected in the NGOs and community-based organizations supporting Palestinians. For example, you can easily give one or two examples. For example, recently, it is only about, a month ago, you see, the social conference in West Africa, if I'm not mistaken, it was in Dakar, I think, West Africa. You see, and this meeting, I'm told by someone who attended the meeting, there's a lady from Zanzibar who attended that meeting, and she told me that Palestine really featured very well in that conference. It was the foremost, and the resolutions were passed with many NGOs from Africa, from Middle East, from Arab countries present there, presenting the various views and Palestine featured very well. So that is again the people's organizations, the NGOs meeting last month in Dakar. And then apart from that, going back, you see, 2001, I remember 2001, there's again United Nations conference in South Africa, or UNICEF conference in South Africa against racism in Palestine or in Israel. And that played a very crucial role, because here you find again, you see, the conference bringing together various mass organizations, the NGO, community-based organizations coming here. Apart from the state, you see functionaries, you know, attending conferences and passing resolutions and going back home, you find that, you see committees, solidarity committees, NGOs also in Africa, they play a very, very important role. So we can, as I said, we can do two examples, that of 2001, you see, and the recent one, 2011, out of many other examples, you see, showing that, see, the people of Africa, they're quite receptive, they're quite, supportive of the Palestinian cause.
And as you mentioned, there's a strong influence, a strong Zionist influence in different parts of Africa. What does Israel seek to gain by being in Africa? Is it a matter of cementing solidarity, or is it more of an imperialist agenda?
You know, well, yes, we talk of imperialist agenda. See, because one can't talk of Israel without talking of imperialism, because it's an outpost. Imperialist outpost, you see, in the Middle East, and not only in the Middle East, but beyond Middle East. So in Africa as well, it's penetrating Africa through various means, you know. One can penetrate Africa through another country, through political organizations, through even a faith-based organization, like religious, like churches, like etc. So Israel can be used for that matter. But see, what is the Israeli interest in Africa? You see, what's the Israeli interest in Africa? It's strategic. You see, Africa is rich. Rich in oil, rich in mineral. You see, it plays a strategic role. There's also a route from east to west. I mentioned 1950s with Nasser, with Egypt, etc., and then with the non-aligned, organization, etc. You see, in Africa, you see, just like other countries, just like other Western countries, the United States and other countries, you find that Israel has been using various means, you see, to gain a foothold in Africa. You see, providing aid, for example. You see, if you look at the history of the Israeli relation with Africa and Israeli attempt to gain a foothold in Africa, they use various aid. It can be economic aid, it can be financial aid. Sometimes also there is a political pressure being used, you see, through United Nations Security Council. For example, I read somewhere that even Security Council, they use pressure, you see, on the delegates to vote in a certain manner. So you find political pressure being exerted not only inside Africa, but also outside Africa. There's economic pressure as well. So, you see, there's also financial pressure. So aid, when I talk of aid, for example, you see, Africa, you see, we are told it's a poor country, we're told we're a poor continent and we are poor. But, you see, the fact is that, you see, we're getting a lot of, financial support from various countries. And I have to say that, you see, that includes also Israel. And though all these attempts being made by Israel in Africa, you see, one thing comes out very clearly. You see, it's covert and not overt. You see, as I said, you see, we closed the embassy, the Israeli embassy, 1973. You see, since then they haven't opened embassies. In fact, now the whole policy is not to go around just opening embassies. You see, things can be done without embassies. And that's what happens now. You see, in many countries in Africa, including Tanzania, you find that there's a trade going on. There's aid also going on. There's a trade and there's aid and there's also tourism and a lot of things. See,
2 minutes.
But in Zanzibar also, you see, aid was given. They offered aid to Zanzibar. And as a result, you find that there were a lot of work being done during the elections. I think during the elections, when they needed to print these voting cards and also to print these ID cards in Zanzibar. You see, I'm told that Israel was very much involved in that. So there are several examples. But as I said, I'm told because this is not something that is very, very open. It's not something that is done very openly. Sometimes it comes out through the press, you see, and we know about this. But as I said, in many instances, it is a covert operation rather than overt operation. That's how, see, that's the style of work that Israel has been doing in Tanzania and Africa as a whole.
All right, Nizar, thank you so much for your time. Unfortunately, that's all we have for today. Hopefully, we'll get you on African Perspectives, which airs every Sunday. But thank you so much.
Okay, thanks, Samir. Thank you for having me. So it was a pleasure.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye.
That was Nizar Visram of the Tanzania-Palestine Solidarity Committee. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have on anti-apartheid frequencies. But continue listening. The show goes on. We would like to thank anti-apartheid frequencies for giving African Perspectives this time slot to discuss Israel's imperialist agenda in Africa. Once again, African Perspectives endorses Anti-Apartheid Week